This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
I'm ZD Donahue.
That's right. Oh, you know what? We'll start off this podcast by saying that ZD's right. She was right. She is right. Do you remember our, like, sewing mistakes episode that we just recorded?
Uh-huh.
And there was that description of a problem, and it was Lynn who was talking.
If you're only cutting out on one layer of fabric.
Yeah, and I thought she was describing something else, and you thought she was describing situation, you know, B, and you was
right.
And you were correct. Lynn was like,
oh, wow.
ZD was correct. And I said, well, ZD, of course she's right. And Lynn was like, yeah, she's going to love that. And so I was like, yes, you're
right. I saw it and I liked her comment.
She knew what was going on. Yeah, and actually over in the group, if you're speedy quick, So this episode is zipper tips number one. And we're going to share
that was a real
Yeah, that was really bad.
Thing.
Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, poorly planned segue. Is this episode is zipper tips number one. And
right.
We have just been seeing, like, lots of zipper chatter in the group.
And one of the things that I
go ahead. We get into, like, that. But we've been seeing all the zipper chatter, and so we're going to address a few, like, issues. But then we know that we're not addressing every single thing about
right. Zippers.
So as a follow-up, in a couple of weeks, we'll record another episode. So if you can get back to us after you listen to this episode, if you have further zipper questions.
Right. You need to be specific about.
Tell us what,
right.
Be real specific.
What I'm seeing is I have so many problems putting it in. I just don't do zippers or I do it by, what's the problem?
Yeah,
we want to know the problem.
Tell us really specifically what you run into so that maybe we can be helpful.
Right.
Because at first when we started to talk about this episode, I was like, yeah, I guess we didn't ask, like, why are you having, like, exactly
yeah,
where
everybody's
in the process?
Saying, you know, not everybody, but a lot of the comments are, I'm having problems, so I just went ahead and put it in by hand. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't.
And ZD and I are like, ooh.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, my God. Talking about a horrible thing, putting a zipper in by
like
hand.
Like, we just think that that sounds not very fun.
Right.
Not that
right.
It's a bad idea. Just.
I
like,
mean, I have put a zipper in by hand when I've had to pick a zipper for a certain reason or something, say, like in a velvet or something like that. But I don't put it all the way in by hand.
Right. Well,
right.
It seems, anyway, that's
right.
Just one of the kind of red flag things that we thought,
right.
Oh, let's get some specific situational information so that we can figure
right.
out why people
and
are having trouble.
And the one thing we do know is zippers uh-huh. were invented after the sewing machine. So they had to be meant to be put in by a
hey, that's
machine,
a,
right?
Love that.
Don't
love
you think?
That.
Don't you
Absolutely,
think?
Absolutely, Mom. Yes.
I
totally
so.
Think so.
Right.
Love it. Yeah, no, and I, yes, that, I really like that. That tip there.
That's my take on it.
You
anyway.
Said something else in a podcast episode recently that I loved. Now I can't remember.
It was about if you can smell it. Or
yeah,
whatever. Yeah,
yeah. If you can, you know, you need to like allow yourself
you
to,
need
smell.
To smell.
You
it
need to be able
because
to smell
if it's
it.
There, yes. You want to smell it.
You
yes.
remember the thing I loved so much that you said.
Oh, yes.
Oh, speaking of former podcast episodes, your nose wire tape mark on the table is not there anymore because I had to film something and I had to peel it off.
I took off my nose wire.
And it was terrible.
Marker.
We had cut through it with the rotary cutter
like
16
times.
Different
yeah.
angles. And so I was like, oh, I'll
I've
peel this away.
Well,
and
I've also noticed we need to flip that mat or something around
I think
because
actually,
I think we're wearing it out.
We just need a new mat.
Do we?
Because I looked at the other side because I thought.
So we flipped it once?
We've already
okay.
flipped it. I
yeah.
think we just need to treat ourselves and get a new mat. All right. So zipper tip. So first of all, you always recommend this in the group. And I think I forget to recommend it because I'm just so used to using it. But when you put in a zipper, one of your biggest, hugest friends is going to be wash away wonder tape.
Right. Yeah. And what that is it's a two-sided tape.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can put it on the garment or you can put it on the zipper, and then you can, you know, basically you're basting it down with glue.
Yeah.
You know, that washes away, too.
So it's a, it's the type, I think they might come in two widths.
I think there's a quarter inch, and I think there's 3/8.
Okay, or I'm lying.
Or a half inch.
Steam a seam and not Wonder Tape.
Yeah.
You know, I think we might be making this up. I think it just comes.
Yeah.
We'll have to check.
I don't know. You know, you're right. I only think Wonder Tape comes in the one width.
Yeah, so we just
and it's like a quarter inch, I would say.
Yeah, it's and yeah. It actually, I think, fits so very perfectly on zipper tape. Like
it does.
On
yes.
that.
Yes.
On that fabric-y yes. part of the zipper. That's called the zipper tape.
Yes.
The metal or the plastic part is called like the teeth or the coil.
The teeth or the coil. So sometimes you have teeth mm-hmm. and sometimes you have a coil. And a coil is usually your invisible zipper.
Invisible zips, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that fabric-y part is the tape. And wash away Wonder Tape is.
I don't think there's anything. I think it's all wash away.
No, I know. It's yeah. just like, that's just the so official, right. like TM, right. it's called, mm-hmm. that's what it's called,
right.
is wash away Wonder Tape. You got to be careful though, because there was another product called Wonder Tape. That clingy stuff
was it called
also
Tape
called, or maybe it's called Amazing Tape.
That was Amazing Tape,
okay, so
think.
I'm just not putting on a very good performance. They discontinued that. Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
This yep. package right here
what
that
says
amazing
tape.
So
right.
we're talking about amazing tape was something.
Is something to confuse that, you in this pocket.
Right, that grips and holds without adhesive, and it's not really used for sewing. We used to put it around thread cones and things to keep the tails from
yeah.
coming loose. Okay, so that's what it wasn't used like in the actual garment making. So the Wonder Tape is 1/8 inch wide. Quarter inch wide. And it's in a little roll like most tapes come. And one side will expose the tape and the other side, the plastic will stay on. So you'll unroll it and you put the sticky side down where you want it. You do not iron it.
No, it's not an irony product.
You don't iron it, okay. And then you will peel off, you know, it's like almost, I want to say.
It's a shiny paper.
Yeah, I want to say
waxy.
Kind of like a, oh darn, what's the clear stuff? Like an acetate almost, not quite, maybe more like plastic.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
opaque.
It's like a thin, but you know, it's to be non-sticky.
Right.
Right. So then you take that off and then all you have to do is press it against something.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about this is, you can lift it up and move it over, right?
Yeah,
lift it up. You know,
it's very
you can do it a couple times,
mm-hmm.
And it will peel off if you don't want it or if you screw up or whatever.
Well,
you know, you can peel it off before you decide to sew.
The other thing I really like about it is that for most zipper insertions, so we're calling it wash away, which
right.
if you remember from our stabilizer podcast, like this is a product that is named by how you take it off, right?
That's right.
And the wonder is how you put it on, I guess. So, so
I wonder. Go ahead. That's a song. I know.
Okay. Yes. And anyway, so a lot of zipper insertions, though, allow you to just leave it. You
right.
don't have to actively remove it
I don't,
after
I
the
don't,
zipper insertion.
I don't remember ever removing it, actually.
The only thing I can really think of is if you did some super duper, like, exposed zipper where...
I just feel like I always have it under my stitching.
Yeah.
I'm
just saying. That's the,
right,
only, the
right.
only time when you would really
right.
have to go in there and, like, get it wet and take it away.
Right.
But, like... Zipper fly zipper. Whoa.
We're in bad shape today, apparently.
Apparently.
The snapses are not snapsing.
Yep.
Yes.
An invisible zipper. I'm just thinking of like all these zippers where it ends up, like you said, getting enclosed in like the seam allowance.
Right.
So you don't, it's a bit tacky.
And most of the things it's going to wash away and go away.
Right. So you don't have to like go in there, but then like, your garment gets laundered
right.
or whatever, and it's just kind of a non-issue.
Right.
So it's nice that it's, you know, replaceable and stuff. So this is different.
And it won't change the
hand.
The hand or drape. I mean, the tape of the zipper is going to may change the hand or drape of the fabric. But this does not. This does not add stiffness. It really, all it's adding is like this little, you know, minuscule layer of basically, you know, gooey stuff. It's sort of like a Post-it note type tape.
Yeah, I will say it does.
It's a little bit stronger, probably.
It seems a little thick, a little gummy.
Might be to me.
And so that's why I wanted to.
I don't really feel like it's that.
I wanted to highlight that if someone put it on their zip and they're like, "Oh, this is going to be like a total pain to wash away." Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Just put it down and continue.
I guess
on.
The thing is, you know, I've used that in costumes where I've had sheer applied it in sheer, you know, applications where it was. The stretch mesh or chiffon or something like that. In fact, that is what it's the most perfect for, are those kinds of applications where you've got a stretch or you've got a slick, slinky, slidey fabric. That is like, it's your savior.
And I'll just say, I really dislike pinning zippers in place.
I do too, because I think it very much
distorts.
And because, you know, you're pinning this stiff tape against whatever you have.
Mm-hmm.
I particularly like it. Well, I just like it for everything. But, yeah, I'm thinking I do so many knits and things that, I mean, it's just so great because it stabilizes that knit so you don't have any crawling of the knit when you're applying that zipper.
Yeah, so I guess I do sometimes pin like a fly zipper in place sometimes, but... Mm-hmm. It's probably just because I was a little too lazy to get the Wonder Tape out. And then sometimes with a fly front zipper, when you get kind of good at them, you actually don't have to pin at all.
Right.
If you're on a stable enough fabric.
And flat.
And, I was
trying to think about this. When don't I use that, right?
Okay.
So if I'm in a really flat application,
like
a bag, like I can put a good zipper in a little zip bag or something, those are so flat and so straightforward,
and they're usually like a quilting
cotton or something, or something, there's something, at least a stable woven of some sort. You know, I'm probably not pinning or doing anything. I am making a mark, maybe. So let's talk about that.
Well, yeah, we didn't have this in our. Well, before we move on to keeping it even, is that what you're going to talk about? I want to bring up Wonder Clips.
Sure.
Okay, because I really dislike pinning, but if you are applying a zipper that gets to, you know, where you get to line up the tape right to the edge of the fabric, Wonder Clips can be a great thing that don't distort.
Exactly.
The fabric and the zipper
like
pins can. So Wonder Clips, before there were Wonder Clips, we were using hair barrettes and binder clips and
all kinds of clippy thingies. Yeah.
And Wonder Clips in all of their current iterations are the nice thing about them is they have a very flat side.
They do.
That will ride along the machine bed without distorting it. So without distorting your project. So that's why we like Wonder Clips, and there are like little narrow Wonder Clips now. There are jumbo Wonder Clips now. There are,
and I agree
sorts.
With you. You know, we used to use other things, you know, that weren't manufactured specifically for the sewing scene, and the Wonder Clips are very nice.
No, because when they came out, a lot of people were like, well, I just use binder clips.
I use hair clips. And we're like, yeah, try this, and they're like, oh,
yeah, they are.
It doesn't
really
have,
nice.
You know, the hair clips made it. Arc and the binder clips are a little bit too bulky and
hard to take off sometimes.
Well, that's the other thing, and these clips, you know, just don't get in the way and they do the job and they're nice.
We have too many Wonder Clips. We have open packs from when we had the shop,
right?
But if you got like a 50 pack, you're good for life.
I think it lasts you for a really long time. I mean, depending on, you know, how much you use them or what you do with them.
10 packs.
I think what happens is they get stepped on and broken more than anything. They don't break from use. I think they get broken in other ways.
Yeah, so the little 10 packs I felt were like the gateway sampler pack to Wonder Clips. Like, oh, try this. But like, you need more than 10. But do you need more than 50? Maybe if you're binding some like huge freaking quilt.
Well, I was going to say, if people do quilts, or something like long.
And the Wonder Clips are out there in a few different, like I was saying, iterations, because some of them have like a quarter inch marked on the
right. When they first came out, you know, there was one kind. Now there's all kinds.
It's a billion. Yeah. Okay, so before now let's move on to keeping the zipper even. Right. We're talking about a garment, but this could be a bag. This could be a cushion.
Well, right. And
you can mess them all up.
That's right. You can mess up anything. And oftentimes what is happening when you're putting that zipper in is sometimes you're sewing from the top to the bottom, and then you go to the other side and you might be going from the bottom to the top.
So the direction
Now, I
changes.
Consider the top of the zipper, okay, where it's open, okay, and I consider the bottom of the zipper where it's like,
oh,
shut.
And let's clarify that too. So ZD wasn't talking like wrong and right side of fabric. You know, she was talking like, you know, zipper stop to the at the bottom, which she's calling the bottom to the top where it's at.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
So, you know, especially if you're sewing in two different directions like that, right? Uh-huh. Like, you know, one side you're sewing from, you know, like I said, top to bottom. The other way it's bottom to top. So they will get misaligned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will.
Just because of the feed dogs. I mean, it's just a natural thing. That's how the whole mechanism works. So when I put in a zipper, I will usually make at least a midpoint mark. So I know where the midpoint is on my zipper. So from, you know, there's an end, a top and an end. So I mark where that's going to be.
Uh-huh.
Or I know where it's going to be. Sometimes I mark where it is. Sometimes I know because maybe it's the end of the fabric, right?
Yep.
So, and then I take a center point and go, okay. So I mark it on the zipper and then I mark it on both sides of the fabric, right?
Right.
So that gets, now, depending on how long. So if this zipper is more than like, say, 10, 12 inches, I may put two marks between the beginning and the end.
I love these landmarks. You know, I don't think. I don't think that I think I try to get away with fewer marks, and it's not a good idea.
Now, if I'm putting a 4-inch, 6-inch, 8-inch zipper in a bag and everything's flat, I might not do that.
Right.
Okay. It's, you know, and a lot of it has to do sometimes with the fabric. Does the fabric crawl? Is it, you know, is it a bumpy fabric? Does it have texture? Whatever. I mean, obviously, the more you work with fabrics, the more you know how they work.
Well, that is something that came up with, I'm going to forget her name. It's Katie, I think. Yeah. She's been making that dress. She's been drafting the whole dress.
Uh-huh.
We have the group. If you're in the group, you've seen Katie's dress.
Right. She's been really good about explaining it.
She's
as
been
she goes
telling
along.
Us what she's been doing. We have been helping her out. It's been cool. And she was saying that, she, like, everything she was reading or lots of pattern instructions had her interface the seam allowance where the zipper was going. And when I was looking at her fabric just from over the internet, I was like, do you really need to?
Right.
Because it looked like a pretty stable woven, you know, and I said, it's judgment call. Like, you might be able to get away with it. However,
if it's stable, you know, definitely if it's stable. And is she lining it or is she not lining it? That, you know, all these things go into play.
You know, partially here, if you use your Wonder Tape and you pop that zipper tape down on the edge of that fabric, it will do something to stabilize it.
It does. And sometimes that's what that interfacing's for. They're just stabilizing the edge of your fabric
where
you're applying.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. Right. Yeah, so if you find, I find that sometimes the zipper, like adhering the zipper tape to the edge of the fabric will do the trick.
Right.
If it is super duper crawly and gross and terrible, I mean, you know what I mean. terrible for you to be sewing. Right. interfacing that can help. And you share in the Zigzag Live broadcast for activewear zippers that use cotton organdy for application.
I do. Well, I do in swimsuits at least. Do I do it in I'm not sure if I do it in everything.
We called it activewear, but you did it in a swimsuit. Mm-hmm. But yes.
Well, and that's a very long zipper.
Long zipper.
That's like, you know, in my, I wear like a rash guard swimsuit. So I wear a high-necked, long-sleeve, one-piece swimming suit, which requires that I zip from, like, you know, the hollow of my neck all the way down.
Like your belly button.
To my navel or past it.
Yeah.
To, you know, because you can't get in it.
You want to go to the bathroom.
Well, yeah.
You best put that zipper low enough.
That's right. I mean, you know, your shoulders just aren't going to go.
Right.
So, you know, I do use cotton organdy in there to stabilize that.
Right.
I absolutely do.
And
that's an exposed zipper also.
Yeah, that is an exposed zipper.
Yeah.
I think we're ready to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a bit about lengthening and shortening zippers and putting a zipper in a muslin. ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. Okay, so
I'm here too.
You're here. I said weird. Did I say I'm?
No, you did.
Oh, okay. Okay. I liked this question that somebody posted.
Mm-hmm.
Do you put a zipper in a muslin? And I was like, I think it depends.
I think that's a perfect thing to say on the garment.
You know, in the pants drafting little class that I'm currently developing and trying to perfect, I have the students put a fly extension in the front center, even if they don't plan on having a fly front, because I find that that extra fabric in the front there and like marking the center seam makes it really easy to pin up.
Okay, so that's
right.
Okay, I'm coming like from the same. So if I was making 6 bridesmaids' dresses.
Yeah.
Right.
Which seam would you leave open?
Right. And I was making muslins. Now, I wouldn't always make muslins for bridesmaids' dresses. But sometimes I would. If the fabric was like $90 a yard, I would. And, you know, we had some like that. Or our costumes, say.
Yeah.
You know, where I there's going to be probably a fitting issue.
Right.
Okay. Like maybe I didn't even see these people.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So I would make up, say, a muslin.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not put a zipper in the back.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, because it was that center back seam, I might cut an extra half inch, add an extra half inch
like
onto
a fly extension on your back.
Right. So it's almost the same thing. That way, it was easy to pin.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it was up the back.
Right.
Okay. And or sometimes I could even alter it there. Like maybe if I only needed to give a little bit more fabric someplace, I would just use that extension. you know, and know that I needed to add fabric.
Yeah.
Or I could also take away in that place. And that might be the only alteration I had to make on some of those.
So I think that this perspective is good from you. Now, but if you're making it for yourself, I can see how, how are you going to get that on yourself?
Exactly. You and the other thing is when you say a muslin, you know, is this your sloper?
Right.
Okay. Or is this a dress? You know what? Yeah. I mean, there's all these things. And or is this a Halloween costume? Who cares? You should be making a muslin anyway. You know, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? It depends on the preciseness you want or the fit you want.
So first of all, like the perspective here of when you're making a muslin, it's nice to leave a seam open in the center front or center back because of not necessarily because you are symmetrical, but it's harder to like pin up a side seam and then repin side seams and, you know, all that.
Right.
So I had them, you know, in that pants class, we will put that fly extension on the front, we'll pin it at the front. But if you want a side invisible zipper, you know, more power to you, and there's no problem, you know, just adding that on there. So if I were making a muslin for myself and it was like a princess seam shell dress, you know, or whatever, and I didn't have my cool mom around me, I might pop a zipper in that muslin.
Well, this, yes, and you know? This also brings up me getting into my costume. I was at home by myself.
How should you prepare for zipping and unzipping a dress
and
with
you
a zipper
should
at the back?
Prepare.
How shall
you should prepare?
How
so,
shall one
so
prepare?
So this was a, you know, a unitard.
Yep.
And I zip it up, and I'm, like, so happy it fits, and I look so great, and I'm just so thrilled because I had actually made one for my partner, and she looked really good, and I was paranoid I wouldn't look as good as her. So anyway, you know, I was, like, so proud of myself, and then I couldn't get out of it. I'm texting Mallory, come unzip me. She goes, I'm not home. I was like, no one is? No one's home. Okay. So I did managed to get out of it by like dislocating my shoulder and a pair of hemostats. But what you do is you make sure you have some sort of ribbon or string or something attached to the zipper
pull
and hopefully there's a, you know, add a ring to it, or, you know, now here can be the problem if it's an invisible zipper. Which mine was.
It doesn't have a ring.
It doesn't have a ring, but there is on the pull tab, there is a little space there.
An itsy bitsy space.
Right, and you can put a ring or sometimes even a safety pin through it or something like that, just so you can, like, get it started. Even,
yeah, so.
You know, and attach your ribbon
onto
that.
I'm actually impressed you zipped it all the way up. Unassisted.
That didn't seem like a problem for some reason. I don't know why I didn't think, oh, this is going to be a
problem
to get down.
That can help you zip it up, too.
Right, so, right. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. In fact, so then I made one for both of us so that if by chance we were in the midst of performing or, you know, in the act of putting on this show and you were backstage and you didn't have help, you could go to the bathroom.
Right, right.
You know.
That's I just imagine like some elaborate pulley system
right.
to get
so
yourself in.
So if you're familiar with wetsuits, this is how they're made.
Right.
They have a, you know, they have a like a tape on the, you know, a twill tape sort of setup, and then they like usually have some sort of Velcro tab where you can like fold it up and put it under there. It stays
this
there.
This is also a burlesque trick. Like a striptease trick is something that I came across during
when
this
she
whole
was stripping.
When I was stripping, I haven't gotten to do that. There's like a really rich burlesque scene roundabouts here. Haven't gotten to
there's
dip
a
my
rich
toes.
Burlesque scene like lots of places. Now.
Yeah,
it's very popular.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it is. It is. It's getting more like more and more accessible and stuff. So anyway, do you put a zipper in a muslin?
Ask me why. No. No.
Depends.
Go ahead.
Depends on the muslin. And I'd probably put it in the center, even if then I wanted my princess-seamed shell dress to have a underarm side zip
or
something.
And I will say this, that if I was making a muslin for, say, a wedding dress, and I knew that the zipper was going to be in the side seam, because that's often what I did, because, of course, your back was often to, you know, the congregation
audience.
Or the audience when you were you know, in a wedding dress. So I made sure that went under the arm. So, and especially there, because you're going to probably have to alter and everything else there, but you need to know that zipper's going to work there.
Right. You need to test it before you know, go to your final.
You need
but
to
I
know
do
that
think
zipper's
going to
work there.
Kind of nice to leave that.
Now, I basted it in. Uh-huh. You know, I use at least a, you know,
well,
four. That- A stitch four, because it will come out.
So we'd like...
And baste it in with a different color
we'd like
thread.
To, I'd like to talk about
is
this.
Is everybody making their muslin with a non-matching thread so they can see their threads? Because that's one of my tricks. And I usually use a different color thread up and under so that I always
know... You
know,
that has not come up on the podcast for a hot minute, is not matching your top and your bottom thread. That's a tip from way back. I want to talk about basting. So a lot of people said, like, I can't get a zipper in. This is what we want to hear about. We want to know. I can't get a zipper in unless I hand baste it. And we're like, really? Like, that seems like such a...
Well, not if you have Wonder Tape.
Yeah, get yourself some Wonder Tape.
Wonder Tape. Let me whisper, Wonder Tape.
You can often... Actually, I think you can often get away with a longer stitch length on a zipper than a 2.5. Like, a lot of the time.
Right.
Because I've been teaching people before, and I'm like, oh, my God, you used the 2.5 stitch length on the zipper, and now it's, like, welded to this fabric, and I wish we would have used a 3, you know?
When I think there's a lot of places that you can use a 3.
Agreed.
Where 2.5, and believe me, I use a 2 and a 1.5 in places.
Sometimes, yes.
But you know... Look at the fabric, make a test seam, fold that seam out, you know, finger press it down, pull it, see, is 3 enough? The fewer stitches, actually, the better the seam, you know, can look sometimes.
Sometimes it makes it lay better.
Well, it honestly depends. You know. It just depends on the fabric. Sometimes a closer stitch is better. Sometimes a stitch that's farther apart is better. It really depends on the fabric. Very fine fabrics, the closer the stitch, usually it's better.
Yeah, and like you said, zippers were invented after sewing machines. And I think that zippers really benefit from, like, super straight stitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I am probably not as good a hand sewer as these people. Like, well, I know it because I don't like to hand sew.
I just can't even imagine doing this.
And I would also feel like the stitch on my sewing machine was stronger. Perhaps being a lock stitch.
I think it would be a neater, flatter stitch.
Yeah, but I'm sure
somebody's probably out there that can do
it. Who can do
it? Now, if I do what is called hand pick a zipper,
I want to explain that real quick.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is instead of your top stitching, right, where you have a flap over your. So you either have a center
lapper,
or what is it called? Is it an off? What is it? Side lap?
Side lapped? Is it like?
It's a lap zipper or a centered zipper.
Okay.
But they both get top stitched through, you know, basically. Okay. So I'm doing this on a velvet dress and I'm putting a regular zipper in, not an invisible.
Sure.
Right? So you usually don't have to hand pick an invisible zipper because you don't top stitch it, right?
Right.
So. Say I can't find a zip, whatever, but for some reason I'm using a regular zipper, and this could be for a lot of reasons, actually, but I'm using, you know, regular flat type zipper. The top layer of the garment has to be stitched to the tape.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't want to top stitch on velvet.
Right.
I want it to look like it's barely there.
Sure.
So what you do is you hand pick it from the wrong side, and you know you're going through the tape and you're barely picking up one or two threads of the top garment,
half of the width of the fabric, when I say width, I mean width. Depth of it. Oh, you know, you're picking up a thread. You know, you're trying to like trying to get just in there. It's not a running stitch.
No.
When we say pick, it's like we're just barely inserting our thread between those fibers to grab it. Now on velvet, those would disappear a little better.
Well, but sometimes they really show on velvet, so you have to be careful.
You handpicked on that Dupioni silk.
I did because
silk Dupioni, which you can also call it.
Because
person on YouTube.
Because I could not find a zipper at the time.
Yeah.
And that was under my arm.
Yeah, it was under your arm. But I'm just saying, that was, you can see that if you look up close, you can see the picking on
that. Yes, if you look very, very close. But the velvet, you know, the picking you might not see, but you're definitely going to see a top stitching if you do that.
Yeah.
And it's just, now, you don't do this in an athletic garment. You don't do, you know, this, I mean, this is not something that's like highly durable.
No.
But, that's the only time I have ever when it comes to hand insertion. So when people are saying, I put my zippers in my hand, I do not know what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, I guess I know what they're talking about.
Well, no, I don't. I don't. Are they partially putting it in by machine?
Part of me is just like, please let us help you. This process can go, I would imagine, 20 times faster.
I would think.
It should just be easier than that. And if you're having, but I can see how that control, getting the zipper even or something. If you've had those troubles with the machine and you're like, oh, I can't visualize this whole thing at once and the machine is making me feel a little out of control and I feel more. So we want to help you, help you let the machine help you. So we want
to help you find zippers to be enjoyable.
Yes, yes. We haven't gotten in.
Well, it's the same thing when you hear people talk about buttonholes and I'm afraid to do it. I'm afraid I'm going to, I get the garment all done and I'm afraid. Buttonholes can come out quite well.
Yes. And that has been an episode that I don't know how we would ever measure this, but so many people have been like, oh my gosh,
changes,
I listened life to that
changing.
Episode and now I'm not afraid of doing buttonholes
and
on my machine anymore.
Have literally said life changing. This was life changing.
Well, I also, it's kind of life changing for me because someone was like, please, Mallory, I need buttonholes done. And I was like, hell no. And I was like, here's this podcast episode. Because she'd made something.
Right.
And then she didn't want to do the the buttonholes. And I sent it to her and she was just like, this is revolutionary. Right. I have mastered
revolutionary.
So anyway, I was like,
okay, so I think the other thing we were going to try and cover was the length or shortening a zipper here.
Yeah. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's do it. Do you shorten from the top or the bottom, ZD?
I shorten from the bottom.
I never remember what I'm supposed to do.
Because it's the easiest place. It's the easiest thing to do.
I think I always end up shortening from the bottom, but every time I
look
at a zipper.
So at the top, you have two zipper stops.
That's right.
And at the bottom, you have one.
Mm.
Okay.
So you only have to mess with one.
Right. And which end of the zipper do you usually see after it's in the garment?
Yeah.
You see the two top stops, right?
I like the one versus two. That's going to help me remember.
Okay.
You're going to deal with just one thing instead of dealing with
two.
So
now if I have a nylon zipper, which could be an invisible zipper or a regular toothed zipper, all I have to do to shorten it is put it under my sewing machine, pick bar tack, and make sure it goes over, the width of those teeth, right, when they're together. The zipper is closed.
Right.
Because I'm only stitching once, because I only have to do once. And I stitch back and forth, and I usually do it 10 times, okay?
Oh, okay.
And I do make sure it's secured at the end. And then I cut my zipper off.
Yeah.
Don't cut it first. You don't have to.
Okay, that's,
why would you? It's being held together for you.
That's the other way you can remember, because if you cut off the stuff on the top, you can just pull your zipper stop
right
off.
That is true, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cut the zipper off from the top, what you have to do is you have to stitch on both sides, or you can buy zipper parts.
Well, then you have to take off the bottom and zip it up from there, is what I've done a few times. So I had to take off the bottom anyway.
Right. So, I mean, you can also buy zipper kits with zipper stops in them. Okay.
Yes.
So if I have a metal zipper, how am I going to shorten it?
Well, okay. Go ahead and talk to me about it.
Okay, it's a little bit more difficult.
But have you seen this tool for removing metal teeth?
Well, yeah, I probably just use it. I've used a pair of pliers.
But I've used a pair of pliers, too.
But there is a tool.
I am sincerely considering buying this tool.
Well, and that tool is especially wonderful if you do home deck and you use big metal zippers.
So you have to take – the reason you have to take the metal teeth out is you may end up sewing around the bottom there or
– right.
You know, you can kind of get around them with your scissors if you're just going to, like, cut it off.
I used to pull them out. Take the zipper, you know, apart from the bottom, and then pull them out off of the tape. I mean, if you, you know, you pull your zipper apart and you grab a tooth with a pair of pliers.
It'll come
off.
And
you pull, yeah. It will come off. Okay. Sometimes it does distort it a little bit. But then you can buy the parts to replace, right? So you can put a little metal tab across there, or you can sew across there too.
I just sew across. Right. Yeah.
And that's what I usually do.
Yeah. So this happens a lot with jeans, right?
Yes.
When people are putting the fly in. And then you have to be careful because you do top stitch like around the bottom of that zipper.
Right.
But it's also the other thing you can remember for removing it from the bottom is there are little kind of those stops at the top of the zipper can help keep the zipper closed if you leave those alone, if you leave those intact. So you need to pop those down just below your seam allowance. When I say just below, I mean like half of a millimeter.
Yep.
You know, you're going to stitch right over it. So this can be a place where, you know, get out your sewing gauge or get out your seam allowance discs from sewhere.com and mark 5/8 inch down or half inch, whatever your seam allowance is.
You mean 5/8 inch above the
I mean
zipper.
Down from the stitching line. So I'm looking at the waistband of a pair of jeans. Uh-huh. Okay. So the raw edge of the waistband, that's what I mean. I'm sorry if that wasn't clear.
Right.
But you need to.
To where to place your zipper.
Yeah, to place
your
zipper.
So you
want to
place your zipper just outside of the seam allowance.
Right. So that those top stops can be useful there. Now, the only place where this would be not applicable is a separating zipper.
Right. So when you get to a separating zipper, this can be a hassle, okay? You can do it from the bottom because you can buy a kit.
Oh, God, kill me.
I know. It's really hard. But and going from the top, you not only can you sew across each side of the zipper tape, but a lot of times you're enclosing that.
You can enclose it, yeah.
You're enclosing that into a seam, so it's going into, you know, the top of your hoodie zipper
or
your jacket zipper.
I'm thinking of a hoodie
zipper.
Or a jacket,
right?
Too. Okay,
but you can, there are kits where you can take that thing off the bottom. So what I have also done and been known to do,
I don't know why that,
because I have the zipper monster that I live with.
Someone just posted about theirs. They have a zipper monster too. Did you see that?
Freaking
today.
He's like the nemesis of all zippers.
Yeah, destroyer of zippers.
I don't know how he does this.
I am Jerry, destroyer of zippers.
Yes. And he pulls off the bottom side of the separating zipper has a female male kind of component, right? And he will pull off the male part.
Jeez.
Right? Is that
No, I think female.
No, he pulls off the female part.
The
larger part
that the
No. He pulls off the male part. It's the part you insert.
How does he do that?
I don't know. Who'd have thought it was possible? But he has pulled off both sides, okay?
Okay.
He has pulled off both sides. He has pulled off just the pull.
Sure.
And come on with just the zipper, okay? You know, I mean, who?
Calm down.
Who knows?
Get dressed calmly.
And I go, this is how you do this. You insert this, and then you hold the butt. So this is how you do a separating zipper. You take the male part. You insert it into the female part, right?
So I think, back up, solidly or just stabilize the female portion in one hand and keep it stationary. And then
you
insert
the
male part.
Right. And then you keep hold of the male part.
That's right.
And you you're pushing it down. You're pulling it down, and you take the zipper pull, and now pull it up.
Is he doing something somehow? Because here, you know what? We missed a part.
Oh.
The zipper pull is part of the female assembly.
Yes. And is it's like, all the way to the bottom.
Is he, like, not putting that all the way down there first or something?
I don't know how he ever got anybody pregnant. But anyway.
That is an important part of separating
so
zipper.
You on the female side, that's the movable side.
Right.
The zipper slide is on the female side.
Yeah.
And it needs to be all the way down, and you're holding it down.
Because I've seen people, you know what? I bet that might be like our missing link here. Because someone will,
I think he's the freaking missing link.
As they're inserting that zipper, they'll like move the zipper pull before they get it like locked in place.
Mm.
I just put a life jacket on Isaac out of the pond today. So just to let y'all know, we're a little late in recording this episode. It's April 6th. It is April 6th, and the kids got all the way in the pond.
In the ice-cold pond, but it was 80 degrees.
They swam across the pond.
They did.
It was pretty impressive. Okay, so...
So
shortening.
So I don't know. Sometimes you can give all the zipper lessons in the world, and you will still spend your life.
Okay.
So I have added parts. Don't you think I replace one or two hoodie zippers a year?
This is a part of the podcast. I think we're just going to go with it, even though we're kind of long on this one. But you were talking about choosing the length of a zipper.
Yes.
So for a separating zipper, if I'm replacing it or if I'm going to like put it in a garment, personally, if I was making a garment, I would kind of be like, I'm going to make my front center seam one of the sizes of a standard separating zipper. 22, 24.
Oh, yeah.
20.
Oh, no.
I would do that. So if I've lengthened or shortened the pattern based on like my body for whatever reason, I might revisit that.
And the other thing you can do is you can add a tab at the top or something where, because like, okay, think about this. There's not that many times I zip my hoodie all the way up.
All the way up.
So if I, you know, want to make sure it does close at the top, I can put like a tab there with a button too.
Well, because
if it comes, you know, if that zipper comes up short, say.
Because what you were saying before we sat down to record is, sometimes a pattern will call for an 18 or a 22 inch zipper to go down your back, and you're like, that means I'm going to be like sitting on my zipper.
Yeah, like a 22 inch zipper on my back. Is ridiculous. It's like in my crack.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
That sort of directive is definitely customizable.
Right.
You need to make sure you can get out of the garment. Okay.
Right.
Like, that's why the zipper's there, probably.
Right.
So, you need to make sure you can get out of the garment. But if you find that it doesn't have to go quite as low, or if it's hitting you like in a funny place, that's definitely adjustable.
Right.
However, with a separating zip like that, I might be like, I'll just go ahead and make this the length of my separating zip.
And then there's another type of zipper that separates, and it's called a parka zipper. Okay. And what that is, get it in the right size, okay? Because what that is it has two sliding mechanisms, one from the top and one from the bottom, okay?
Yeah.
So you really don't want to mess with that if you don't have to.
The other thing I wanted to say is, in that zigzag broadcast where we do the swimsuit zipper, the zipper you use, you have shortened, and it was a separating zipper.
It was.
But it's just a very pretty zipper, and it happened to be in this batch of, like, very pretty separating zippers we bought. And we have used these zippers in so many things and cut off the separating part because we're not using
and
it.
And the other thing I really like about that...
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes on a separating zipper, you have a really nice pull.
Yeah.
And with the swimsuit, it's really nice to have that nice pull.
The other thing about those zippers, I think that brand maybe still exists, but I'll track, is the coil looks like metal.
Yes, and
but
it's not.
So
right. It's really cool.
It's kind of gentle against
your
skin.
Yeah, well,
and stuff.
Right. I really put nylon zippers in something
in
like I'm going to swim
like that,
in. Right.
Yeah.
I don't want a metal zipper.
So anyway, I wanted to bring that up real quick when you said ZD used some not so nice words about where the zipper actually hits her going down her back. Maybe when COVID's over and we do a live event, she'll tell you the word she used about where it hits.
You know. Well, you know, it you know, it hits my wiggle butt, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe this podcast would be a good time to announce the arrival of a new family member.
Yes. I actually lost two of my dogs, and they're important to me. And I lost them exactly 8 weeks apart.
Yeah.
One was very unexpected. We thought she was going to be the dog that was going to be around for a long
time. We thought she was going to stick around longer.
Yeah, and she was the one that went. So the first dog was Reba, and we actually had to put her down.
No, I thought the first was Jasmine.
No, it was Reba.
Oh, I'm getting them confused.
Yeah, so it was Reba, and she was old. She was about 14, and Jasmine was about 10. And we took Jasmine camping, and Jasmine went on a trail run, and she was prancing around the campgrounds, and everybody was talking about how pretty she was, and she was, because she was a prancer and a show-off. And we were home about 18 hours, and she started stumbling, and she was diagnosed with a brain tumor about, she was gone in 48 hours.
Mom has these big dogs, and they're all the same. They were all the same age.
They were very close to the same age.
And so it was becoming a very kind of like difficult time all at once. So Raz is still with us.
Yes, who we thought would go.
We thought was doing not
the
best.
Because he was old and the biggest.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's a 140-pound dog.
Yeah.
So we still have Raz, but he is blind.
He's very blind.
Yeah.
But we welcomed the family
a new pup
named
Tova,
and she is beautiful brindle something.
Well, it's very funny because everyone in the family was telling me that I was aging, and yes, we all are. But and that
I didn't tell you that
I needed to get a smaller dog, right? I needed to go away from these 100-pound dogs and get a smaller dog, and we have wound up with Tova. And
she's from the Mo Wigglebutts.
She's from the Mo Wigglebutts, right? Missouri is M-O, Mo Wigglebutts. And we do not know her parentage. I think I'm going to have to do a DNA test, though.
You're going to
do one of those? This dog looks like a Great Dane, I am telling you. And so I don't know if she's a Mastiff or what is she is, but we have calculated her on the puppy calculator weight and size chart to see what size she would be, and they said, your puppy will be a giant. So she is predicted to be somewhere in, say, the 117 to 120 range in weight. So she is not small.
She's not going to be
She's not going to be small. She's 17 weeks old and weighs about 40 pounds.
Yeah. That's kind of like what, you know.
That's what people's dogs weigh.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no surprise here. So welcome, Tova. Yeah, so what we want is we want like
But did you ever announce your new dog?
Marbles?
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, it's a 50-minute episode anyway. Whatever. So first of all, it's very hard to find a puppy during the pandemic. And I hope that all these people adopting puppies and dogs are like in
Cute,
it for
yes.
the long haul, you know.
Well, that's kind of how we got Tova. Like,
yeah, she got returned.
She
a few
was
times,
returned twice.
She? Well, here's how we got Marbles.
Right.
We kept trying to get a dog.
Right.
And we kept getting scooped. And then it was another like local rural rescue who they don't have a physical shelter. They work with a network of fosters.
Right. That's what.
And someone called them up and said, we got this dog on our land and he's wild and he, you know, like no chip, no nothing or whatever. And this lady has been so overwhelmed that I called and I was like, well, can we have this dog, you know? And she was like, if you get him and you take him, you can just have him. You know, she was like, I'd really like you to get him spayed. I was like, oh, no, or not spayed, you know, fixed or, you know, or neutered. And I was like, oh, don't you worry, you know, and we've got a yard and all this stuff. And but so we kind of skipped the system a little bit.
Well, and that's kind of what happened to me. I skipped a little bit, too.
And
yeah.
then we were trying to name the dog. And so we were going around, me and my two children and my husband, Derek, talking about things to name the dog, and we were like food names and other like kind of cute inanimate object names, and Jerome wasn't super clearly spoken at this time. This is like a year ago, so he was two, and all of a sudden he looks at us and he goes, Marbles, and we were like, oh, like Zelda, Jerome, you know,
Everybody
Derek,
loved
and I was
it.
Like, oh my gosh, yes, we're gonna name him Marbles, and he's is he's a hound, a coon hound, we believe, a red bone.
Black and tan coon hound, as I believe. But I think he has some bloodhound in him. His ears are really big.
Well, I've never been stopped so much with a dog for people to compliment.
He's very,
this dog.
Very pretty.
Like I
he's
mean,
very pretty.
I guess
he has the black saddle with the tan markings.
I hate to
he's
say
very
it,
pretty.
But I'm like, he's okay looking. But like I
oh, he's a really very attractive
everyone stops
dog.
And is like, where did you get that dog? Yeah. What breed is that dog? You
he's
know,
it's very attractive.
He was left on the side of the highway. Oh, and these poor people. Yeah. It was like this woman and her husband, and they were moving, and they have like two children under two, and they were like, please come get this dog off of our property.
Well, and this is what happened with Toba. She was found on the side of the highway also.
Yeah.
And then I think what happened was people thought they were going to get a little puppy, and
itty
puppy
bitty.
Grew really fast.
Yeah.
And
and you know who's ready for that? ZD Donahue.
Well, and what I did, because, oh my gosh, I was at the point where I was, I don't want a dog. This is so hot. I've never had like, so
well,
much trouble getting a dog in my...
through the process of trying to get a vaccine.
Right. Trying to track down a COVID vaccine and then trying to get a dog is like... I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Similarly.
So this dog came up, really cute little dog, black mask, little, you know, brindle dog. And I was like, screw this application stuff. I had filled out by that time like 6 applications. It takes you like 15 minutes and they want to know the color of your underwear and, you know, how many uncles you had and all this. And I'm like, and they don't call you back for like 10 days. Or when you call them, go, or, you know, no one's got a hold of me. They're like, oh, that dog's not available. And I'm like, I'm going to shoot y'all. I just cannot handle it. But anyway, I saw this dog and I thought, one last time, I did not fill out the application. I found the email. I directly wrote the lady and I said, we are not intimidated by size, blah, blah. And I think she read that and she dialed my phone number. Okay. And I called my, and she said, you can come look at her at any time. And, I told my husband, I said, either I write really good letters or this dog is a friggin' tornado.
Is a mess.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So she's been a good dog. So
well,
I must write really good letters.
We know that the shelters are overwhelmed. They're often run by volunteers and stuff, you know. But and I think especially right now things are.
I think it's just so crazy right now,
I think it's crazy in so many ways because, you know, I think there are maybe like, I don't know how much of an uptick in surrenders there are, but then there's this uptick in demand.
Well,
and
then
you want to be careful.
And that was the other thing that I was thinking of when I was going through this. I thought these puppies and all these dogs are going so. And we did want a puppy, which is kind of funny. We haven't had a puppy for over 20 years, but we thought with our elderly Dane that it might be a better idea to get a dog that was
new
and hadn't learned anything yet. But. Who knows? We got the dog. It's working out. But the whole time I was thinking, all these dogs are like flying out of here so quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hope they're not all back in a year and a half.
Right.
You know, and all the older dogs that were available, this is one another reason we chose to get a puppy. Most of them said, not good in home
with other dogs
or children. I'm like, well, what can I do about that?
Yeah. No, you know, can't. You can't.
I can't.
Yeah.
That's something I can't control. I have other dogs and children.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, hope you enjoyed our little 5-minute tangent on the dog.
Hope you liked it. Hope your doggies, kitties, or whatever you have
are
doing well.
Provide us with your further zipper questions, and we will follow up with
another
episode.
Take a picture of your animal with a zipper.
That's right.
And then send us your question.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening. ZD?
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.